flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What changes, what stays the same? That's what we're all wondering as Falcon fans. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
We are at home today because, again, the weather and getting around on these icy roads around town, things are great on the highway. We get it. It's some of the other areas. There are some folks still without power down south. So we are hanging out, and we're glad that you're here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Mike, as we get into some Falcon conversation, and we will talk plenty more in less than 10 minutes, stay there, about all the coaching hires and changes and stuff that are going on around the NFL. The Bengals, by the way, apparently have found their guy at defensive coordinator. He's a familiar name. Also, we found out today who the Jets are going with. Stay there. We're going to talk about it. Let's talk about our Falcons, because what changes, what stays the same? Does everything need to change? I had a guy ask me this, Mike, because he said, I heard you and Mike talking about this. You guys sound like you want to see everything change. No. We want to see the best pieces of this defense remain, and then we want to get better if we can in the areas where we lack. I'm not telling you, I don't want to go away from Jesse Bates. I'm not trying to tell you that Caden Ellis didn't have one of the best seasons as a linebacker, inside linebacker this year. But, Mike, we need to add to that. And that is what we're talking about when we say, hey, Jeff Ulbrich, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but look, I get it. I mean, not everybody's going to catch our drift. I just wanted somebody outside the family to come in and help fix the defense. Because I think their approach is flawed. Their approach and the athletes they have don't mesh. It doesn't match up. And instead of maybe addressing that and bringing a new approach and maybe retooling the defense, no. They're bringing a guy who is here for the downfall of the Falcons, okay? I mean, it was great in 16 and 17, but he was also along the ride for 18, 19, and 20 in Jeff Ulbrich. So that's my beef. And if he, like him and Ra, they are best buds. Like Carl and I, they are best buds. And that's cool because relationships are how things get done in all walks of life. But I just thought maybe they go with somebody outside the box who might challenge the coaching staff in some areas. That was not that Jeff can't and isn't capable of challenging them, but to me, it's like we don't have the horses for this. What we're running, R3-4 is crap. Okay, we don't get the quarterback on the ground. Yes, sacks can be overrated. Matter of fact, Cam Jordan just did a podcast where he said sacks don't always tell the story, and he's the guy that terrorized us for over a decade. But you got to get guys off the field on third down. We don't do that. So in the case of the Falcons, sacks are equated with losses and not finishing. So I would like to have seen a different approach. Wink Martindale, Dennis Allen, hey, even Onorumo, any who got the job with the Colts, something.
Yeah, the numbers are staggering, though. when, and again, they do matter, okay? Stats do matter when they tell you that you're not any good. Stats don't matter when you're winning championships, because what that simply says is you're making plays. So for us, three out of the four major categories, right? We're talking about total yards, 23rd. We're talking about passing yards, giving up passing yards per game, 22nd. We're talking about scoring defense. We gave about 25 a game. That's 23rd in the league. And then you're 31st, not last, but second to last in sacks. That's not a good defense. That's just not. And so until we are able to crack that top 15 and hopefully get into the top 10. Now, I'm a true believer that, because I've seen it enough, we don't have to be number one to be there. It'd be nice. That means we're really, we got some dudes and we really are doing something special. But we don't have to be number one. But, Mike, we got to be top 15. We got to be in that top 10. And when you tell me, hey, we're 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, 31st, those are numbers that scream this is not good enough. And that is the stuff I want to get fixed.
Right. And to the guy that hit us up earlier, yeah, we feel pretty good about the offense. I mean, it was a very strange season. No one will ever debate that. And some of these things were, you know, difficult for even the greatest of coaches. And Raheem was dealt some really crappy cards when Cousins just, you know, just completely crapped the bed and couldn't get it back. But we love what we see from Michael Penix in a small sample size. Zach's got some amazing tools to work with. The general manager's put some amazing pieces together offensively. And the offensive line, we've got good depth, so that's, we're good. Got to fix the defense. You can't fix the defense. It'll be more of the same, you know, unless Michael Penix is going to have, you know, the kind of year that Jaden Daniels will have, you know, had when he has a full year under his belt. But right. You're still asking a lot of your offense, Carl, to score at like a 2016 clip to make up for your defensive shortcomings. So that's where the draft comes into being a big player. And just one other note, I reached out to Chris and hopefully our producer, we're going to try to get our buddy Joel Corey on. He just penned an article you can search in CBS Sports talking about each team's big cap decision. And how it affects him. We were talking about this last week and a few weeks earlier. All the experts say the same thing. The likelihood that Kirk Cousins is on this roster, you know, anytime after June 1 is not very good. He'll be released with a post-June 1 designation before the injury guaranteed $10 million kicks in. Yeah, in the fifth day of the 2026 league year roster bonus. So in all likelihood, unless some team really gets excited about Kirk Cousins for some reason, they don't get the quarterback they were looking for in the draft. Carl, it seems like a one in a million shot. We're going to get a team to trade and eat some of that salary cap.
Yeah, I keep hearing already that, and by the way, there's no validity to this. This is just rumor mill. But I keep hearing Cleveland. Like, Deshaun Watson, now second Achilles.
Right.
More than likely he's going to miss the season because the first Achilles happened in October and they thought he'd be back at the start of the season. Then he's rehabbing and hurts it again. Do they draft a quarterback or is that team good enough? And a lot of people feel like it. Flacco took them to the playoffs, guys, just last year. To make the playoffs and make a run while you're figuring out your quarterback situation. And so I only say that to say Kirk Cousins. But remember, he has to sign off on any of this. He's got a no trade. So even right. If you were to approach him and say, hey, we got a team that might be interested. And again, just rumor mill. It's Cleveland. Does he want to go there? Does he want to play? I don't know. So right. That is the thing about Cousins. And Mike, I totally agree with you. Just from a financial standpoint, that's why all along I kept saying it makes no sense. I understand the commitment to potentially move on from him or you cut him and what that means to our cap. But I also understand what it means to still have him on the roster and you're paying him and it makes no sense whatsoever. Right. Like sometimes you just got to cut bait, man. You just got to say, all right, got to let that fish go and we'll try to catch another one. You just don't hold on to the line, all right, you anglers out there, and I'm one, that just because, oh, well, you know what? I almost have him. I got him. He's coming. Right. Sometimes you got to cut the line, man. Cut the line.
Right. The only reason you would maybe throw the – I mean, I've seen the same things you've seen about Cleveland is if they don't feel warm and fuzzy about Shedeur Sanders. If, in fact, the Titans go with Cam Ward or vice versa. You know, if Shedeur goes to the Titans and they don't feel as – although I don't know why you wouldn't feel good about Cam Ward, then maybe you take, you know, the next best thing, which is Travis Hunter, and then you've got a super athlete and you figure out how you manage his workload on both sides of the ball. And then you say, okay, I'll go get Kirk Cousins. I'll give the Falcons, you know, X whatever it would be, pennies on the dollar, you know, a little bit, throw him a bone to help him with the cap hit. and then you go get your quarterback next year. But that's also provided on where you're going to draft. So that's kind of – it's hard to see them not, in my mind, going quarterback if, you know, where they're picking with the second overall spot.
I think the Raiders go get it. I think the
Raiders move up. And that's another way you could do it, and you could maybe still have your cake and eat it too. You're right.
That's what I think. And, again, it's January. That could obviously change between now and April when the draft happens. But I have a feeling the Raiders are going to do that. And if that happens, you get a buttload of picks, okay? And now you can maneuver this in a different way if you are, in fact, Cleveland. So there's still a lot to be determined. But, guys, Mike's point is this is going to include our team in some way, shape, or form with teams discussing, hey, are we interested? Are we not? Do we want to make a move? Can we make a move? What's it going to cost us? And the Falcons have to, Terry, entertain every phone call. They have to.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta think they would. I mean, look, you said it. Kirk's got a note. He's got to sign off on it. I mean, the only way, and it's that's the rosiest of scenarios. Almost every cap expert you can read and Google says we're just going to release Kirk Cousins because you can't bank on a team coming to you in August. There's too much money involved. It's already bad enough. So in a perfect world, somebody comes at you before June 1st, and you get enough money. And again, we're talking like what, 8, 5, 4? I mean. No, you don't have to do anything. You could hope the Falcons just outright release him and then go see where he falls, and you go get him, right?
Yeah, Mike.
That's why to me it's to me that's a look. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we get him off the books and as best we can. He's still going to have to eat that money for this year and next year.
Yep.
$40 million less whatever somebody was willing to give you, and then 25 the next year.
Yeah, and I know it's a lot. But other teams have been worse, in a worse position.
Right.
And it's just, it's the cost of doing business. And this idea, you know, where I think Terry said this in his presser, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Wednesday. And if you can't stop in, order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. When Terry said, you know, we are satisfied with him being the backup. And I think we talked about that, Mike. And it was like, okay, whatever. I don't believe that. I get it. You're saying that because he's still on the team. But I also know that when you start making these calls and you're trying to, you know, figure out what's going to happen next, this is just the cost of doing business, man. And
right.
Look, I feel like they need to do this sooner than later, but there is a date. That date that you're talking about, Mike, mark it down. Let's see what happens before that date gets here.
Right. Like, if you want to have the world's most expensive backup, okay. Then you got to
league business. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right. I mean, it's just all the guys that follow the cap say he's going to be gone. So we'll see where it goes. I'm just telling you, you might not like the news, but that's what we're hearing from the dudes who know this stuff.
All right, what happened today with the Jets? Because apparently they got their guy. So did the Bengals when it comes to their defensive coordinator, and other jobs are up for grabs. One in Jacksonville, and now they're looking for a new general manager. We'll fill in all the blanks next. Look, it's not the strong arm. We're going to talk about the coaching changes around the NFL, but this just in, Mike, the Miami Heat plan to suspend Jimmy Butler again for 2 games. And we just talked to Brian Geltzeiler from SiriusXM, who does an NBA show with our buddy Sam Mitchell. And the Heat apparently have come out and said he missed the team flight Wednesday.
Oh, snap. That'll do it.
So he plans to join the Heat tonight. But now Miami is keeping him home from its 2-game road trip. So Butler has just returned from a 7-game team suspension. Guys, the reason we're talking about this is because with the trade deadline looming and Butler wanting out of Miami, everybody's just assuming he'll end up wherever he wants. Miami is playing hardball. And Brian Geltzeiler said, if I'm the Heat, I don't trade him. But, Mike, you're going to be dealing with this stuff?
Yeah, and it's funny because Shams Charania had it first, and then you read our buddy Brian, you just mentioned, was on the show with us. He goes, Jimmy Butler, making it fair to ask the question, why wouldn't anyone want to trade for him at this point? You know, because, you know, and I saw stories, you know, how, oh, Utah was a landing spot. Phoenix has just picked up a bunch of number ones. I don't know about this. I mean, like, you know me, we talked about, I love Jimmy Butler's, what was a work ethic, what was a toughness, and then has become real diva-like. And it started last year with him commenting about other teams and Pat Riley basically saying, don't talk about anybody if you can't get on the floor. Yeah. And then ever since then, it just disintegrated. So, yeah, interesting for us because if they can't get fair trade value for Butler, that's a team maybe we leapfrog, right? And continue to stay above in the Eastern Conference. Right now, the Heat are at 9. They're a dead 500. We're at 6, but that's one less team, I should say, for us to worry about.
I agree. All right, we'll see where this goes. Nothing is going to happen anytime soon, but I'll tell you guys this. Jimmy Butler's never missed a flight. And when I say that, you guys, they know when the team plane's leaving, everything's scheduled. Mm. He's never missed one. He is simply doing this purposely, Mike, to jab at Pat Riley in the front office and say, hey, I'm going to do what I want. And so this is not him. I'm not taking up for him. I don't know where he's going to go, but I'm just telling you, this is not what he has done in his career. Even when it's been bad and he was on those losing teams in Chicago, he showed up. So with that said, we'll see what happens. All right, let's shift gears and talk about the NFL, Mike, and all these coaching hires and the jobs. Aaron Glenn gets the Jets job today, guys. The Jets, they are still looking for a general manager. Mike, do you like the head coach hired before the GM?
Well, it is kind of interesting. I know that we've talked about, do you go with a guy that, you know, fits your vision? Well, what is the vision, right? I mean, you and I were talking, it's funny, we did this big rant, and I was saying Aaron Glenn has got to move on from Aaron Rodgers, right? And then who cares? And you dictate who the general manager is. And then Chris goes, well, no, actually, they all the general managers, and they're talking about apparently have a rapport with Aaron Glenn. And then I'm like, okay. And I guess he's going to try to get one. I was just looking at the numbers, just sidebar. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, aside from the team never really doing anything, he had comparable numbers to what Russell Wilson did his last year in Denver with 28 touchdowns and 12 picks. And I guess Aaron Glenn feels, let me go bird in the hand is better than trying to get it in the draft and everything else that comes with that. But I think you and I were saying, Aaron Glenn's got to get a job. He's a strong presence. Wasn't the same thing said about Robert Saleh?
It was.
I mean, both guys, teams that are in the top, you know, Lions never won the Super Bowl. 49ers didn't win the Super Bowl, but well-respected, considered the best defensive coordinators are available to be a head coach. Aaron Glenn, of course, has the pedigree of being a Jet, is the majority of his career in New York. But, I mean, that's just a dysfunctional franchise. So I just hope that the general manager would at least take a knee to Aaron. But, again, that stupid collaboration thing that you and I always wonder about what the hell it really means, whether it's Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff or whoever.
Yeah, look, the Aaron Glenn thing is the connection. And, again, sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. But he played there. He played under Parcells. They liked him. He was their top guy. And we'll see if he's able to turn it around. But, Mike, you don't do any of this without a quarterback. So when Turtle told us this, you know, that Aaron Rodgers, he would love to have Aaron back, it doesn't surprise me. He understands that we got to figure this out. But in the meantime, I got a guy that can still play at a high level, to your point when you pointed out the numbers. I don't think it's a necessarily terrible decision, but I also think at some point the Jets have to find their Jaden Daniels. They've got to find their Michael Penix. Mm. They're going to have to find the guy that they can build around for the next 10 years and say, okay, we're not just out here, you know, not knowing where we're going in the next three or four seasons, even though the defense may be really good. Either way, Aaron Glenn, the new head coach there. What do you make of the Bears hire now that we've had a chance to hear from Ben Johnson?
Yeah, man. You want to play that audio again? That was pretty funny. Ben Johnson is introduced today. Caleb Williams was waiting for him, gave him a fist bump as he came in the media center there in Chicago at the Bears facility. And it was funny because, you know, he's talking about, you know, the division. And some people already in Chicago, Carl, the reaction is like, did we just hire the wrong guy? You and I have always had a lot of fun. You know, you only have one chance to make a first impression. But at the end of the day, Dan Campbell has done a hell of a job. And Sirianni, despite the soap opera, has done a hell of a job with the Eagles. But a lot of people are saying, should Ben Johnson have gone there? Take a listen and wait for it.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Oh, snap! No, he didn't!
Yeah, how about the reaction in that room, by the way? Was it like, yeah, let's get the Packers? Oh, what did he just say? I mean, a team that's looking up at all three of those teams he just mentioned. And if you watch the video, you probably see it on SportsCenter tonight when you get home. It's like, folks are like, oh, great. Well, no, you could argue in the spirit of Ditka and everybody else, you know, Chi-Town, make a pronouncement, get out there, be bold. But a lot of folks are going, oh, maybe that struck the wrong chord.
Yeah, look, you hadn't won a game yet as a head coach. You are perceived, okay, to be a brilliant offensive coordinator, and you've had the best, you know, scoring offense in the league the last 3 years. Great. That's how you want to come in? Because the Packers aren't going anywhere. Like, LaFleur has the youngest team in the National Football League, Mike, and despite what you think about Love and all that, they are a team that's built for the long haul. They're going to be around, and that division is not getting any easier. I don't know what the Vikings do at quarterback, but they drafted a guy. They're going to be okay. They believe in J.J. McCarthy. So the Lions, if he can replace those coordinators and they can stay in tune with what they've got going on, he's right. It is going to be an interesting division. But for somebody who has not won, the Bears have not won, the reputation of what's going on with the Bears is not one in such you should be pounding your chest. I'd just be very careful about it. But you know what? If he can back it up and the Bears are scoring 35 a game next year, so be it.
Right, and it's a smart play because you got it. Like you got the, it's the number one overall pick. You got to get Caleb Williams right. Strong arm story. Some moves in the coaching world. The soap opera that is Jacksonville continues. A lot of folks now feel that, you know, Shad Khan is right up there with Woody Johnson and Tepper as far as just an incompetent owner. A lot of folks remember that video we were talking about a few weeks ago. Shad Khan's doing an interview in Jacksonville, and there's a split screen with Trent Baalke, his GM, and he was asked the question: what if a coach comes in who has a relationship with another general manager? Would you consider that? And Shad Khan goes, oh, yes, we would, with Baalke right next to him in the split screen. His reaction is like, hey, what did he just say? Well, you find out that Liam Cohen, the Buccaneers offensive coordinator, was all ready to take the job, but he had his own idea for a GM. And now, surprisingly today, the Jaguars announced they're firing Trent Baalke, and that Rick Stroud, our buddy in Tampa, reporting Liam Cohen about to get a big bump in Tampa to stay as the OC. And then we find out from Rick Stroud just about an hour ago, contract is not signed yet. So perhaps Liam Cohn playing both sides of this and may still go back to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Either way, Shad Khan looks like a buffoon.
Well, he does. And did Liam Cohn, who has no – listen, again, this is not Andy Reid in the room, right? This is a guy that wants to be a head coach and is basically saying, I'd love to take your job, but I can't take it with the general manager here. And the reason why Liam Cohen, if in fact that went down the way it did, and we suspected it did, is because he's talked to enough people around the league and said, you don't want to work in that building with that dude. That's not a good situation. And so now he put it on the owner. He leaves. He thinks, you know, everybody's like, oh, he's going to get this big raise from Tampa. And now the owner's like, oh, hold on. I fired him. So let's see what happens now. But what a ballsy move by Liam Cohn. Right. If, in fact, he gets the job or takes the job, Mike, if it's offered again. Right. I don't know.
And it's funny because we were talking about this earlier. I mean, Shad Khan, it's like you are really that guy now. You've become the clown owner. And Carl and I were joking about how these guys, unless you inherited the team and your daddy did everything or your grandfather did everything, most of these guys are really sharp at one specific thing. Shad Khan, it was, what, bumpers and body parts for cars and everything else, and he became a billionaire. And his son apparently gets the wrestling game and all that. But, man. You didn't know jack about running a football team. Just like a guy could be a genius on Wall Street, come in with his alpha male ego, but didn't know jack about the NFL. Talking about Tepper up in Charlotte. Either way, stay tuned on that one because it is a, Carl likes to say, a developing story.
And it is, man. That's crazy. And it's only going to get crazier because these jobs, again, everybody's still interviewing. Where's Robert Saleh going now? Where's he going?
Yeah, by the way, Al Golden, who just did a nice job with Notre Dame, he's hired by Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. And as D-Led points out, like we did with Jeff Ulbrich, going with dude you know.
Yeah. All right, man. We're coming back. Bill Bender's going to join us. Sporting News senior writer. We're going to talk some college football with him. We'll talk about the national championship, but also moving forward and his thoughts on the Dogs coming up.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, working from home today, back in the studio tomorrow. Appreciate Mike Conti letting us not have to deal with the ice, and as Carl is also known, the black ice. And again, tonight, hopefully it'll be a safer ride and a more convenient ride for you guys. And by the way, Oren, you guys sacking out at the hotel?
Another night, yes, sir.
All right, man, living on that company dime. Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. A guy, a perfect time to talk about because we just got the TV ratings, Carl. They just came out about an hour ago about the college football championship, and they were down. Down in a big way. It was about 25 million and change to watch Michigan and Washington, and just over 22.1 Notre Dame and Ohio State. And maybe Bill Burt wants to talk about, is it a byproduct perhaps of being too late in the game and it got lost with everything else going on, Bill, between the inauguration and the fact the NFL playoffs seem to gobble up everything as far as momentum?
You know, that's an interesting point, and one of my concerns was where it fell on the calendar a little bit, and where, you know, when you had 10 NFL games between Ohio State, Texas, and Ohio State, Notre Dame, 10 NFL playoff games, and of course, here was my concern, is like, Buffalo and Baltimore was a great game, right? So, what are they talking about all Monday morning? They were talking about all those things you just mentioned, the inauguration, Mark Andrews, the end of the Buffalo game, who's in the NFC AFC championship game. Oh, by the way, Notre Dame and Ohio State are playing Monday night in Atlanta. So,
right.
Long list to get there. And I just think that shows if I had one issue with the playoff, and I don't have a lot, push it up. Get that game played earlier.
Right.
Did this work? I mean, what's your analysis of the 12 teams and the teams that got in? Mike and I talked about this. You know, Notre Dame, no conference affiliation, no conference championship game. Ohio State didn't play in their conference championship game. People feel some kind of way, especially in SEC country, like, hey, our conference championship's a big deal. And when you lose it, you normally don't get a chance to play for a national title. Did this 12-team playoff work? You said you don't have a lot of beef. What are your beefs with it?
Seed it properly.
Right.
You know, Georgia, for example, has not lost, what is it, 31 straight home games? You win the SEC, you probably should play at least one on campus in this format. I mean, that's one. The length of time, a playoff that takes 7 weeks is entirely too long, in my opinion, but I get the logistical hurdles. You know what, though? I can say that. I don't know that the coaches were saying that. I think they liked that players could actually heal between games and things like that, and they were on winter break so they could spend more time playing football. So I don't know if that one's going to land, but thought I'd throw it out there. those are the little ones, you know. Give the second-round home games maybe, but still keep them at the bowl games. I'm one of those guys. I do enjoy the bowl games, the traditions. You know, we had a horrible thing happen at the Sugar Bowl But I was glad they were able to play it there. And the Peach Bowl, what a game that was between Arizona State and Texas. And I'm glad we got to tell stories like Arizona State and Boise State and some others.
That's a good point. As Bill Bender joins us, guys, from a Sporting News senior writer here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I agree with you. I would just dive right into this right after the conference championships because you do lose some momentum. They're not going back. Seven, if you're going to emulate the NFL, seven teams seems like a great way to go. I don't think we needed Boise State. I don't think we needed Clemson in there. But, hey, what about now because those other bowl games have been so marginalized? Nobody shows up for, you know, that Miami bowl game against Iowa State. Are we going to see this thing expand to 16 teams?
I think so. I think that's coming, whether it's 14 or 16. And maybe that eliminates one of the problems I'm talking about, where we can play the first couple on campus and maybe Georgia gets one home game. Maybe they get two. Who knows? And I think that would add to the flavor of it. I don't know about you guys. I did like the games on campus a lot. I was at Ohio State, Tennessee. The environment was sweet. Really kick-started their playoff run, if we're honest about it. And,
right.
You know, we can go from there. So, but in order to do that, we've got to talk about the conference championship game. I think depending on who you ask, the value of those has changed. I know how big it's down there where you guys are in SEC country. I know how important the conference championship game is and steeped in that conference's identity. I'm going to be honest with you, Big Ten country, I grew up without it. I mean, I could do without it, honestly, and that's one of the things we're going to have to talk about as we move forward.
Yeah, it is a great point, Bill, and that's part of – and listen, I think it was – speaking of Big Ten, I think it was James Franklin, right, when they were playing, and he was like, we either everybody plays in one or nobody plays. Like, coaches are trying to make a stance on this, but we also know that there's just so much money involved, right, Bill? I mean, that's the other reason why they're not going to do away with these games.
Right, and money. I had, you know, you hear that all the time. I've heard it a couple times over the weekend. You know, whatever the question is, the answer is money, and that's a big deal in college football. The revenue of those games, if they're going to get rid of them, you've got to find a way to replace them.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to replace that money with? How are you going to get that money back? And yeah, they're going to want that. So I do, but you know, the other side of that is like, I watched the SEC and Big Ten championship games with probably a little less interest because
right.
I knew they were both in. Like, well, both of these teams are in, so what's the big deal? Whereas the ACC and Big 12, at least for a half, probably paid more attention to, particularly, or even the Mountain West, because you were like, Boise and UNLV, the winner of this game's in. So I don't know. It's not a perfect answer, and I get that I'm not giving you a solution for the money, and that's why I'm going to lose that argument. But, I guess I have to surrender at that point.
Yeah, it's a Bill Bender, guys. He's a senior writer for Sporting News covering college football with us here on Dukes and Bell. The other thing is, it felt weird, Bill. I mean, we talked about all the other things that were going on and the NFL playoffs. The NFL consumes everything like Pac-Man. But it just felt like Ohio State losing to Michigan and winning a national championship just doesn't jive, you know? And look, they played the system. They brought in the money. They got their upperclassmen to stick around for another run. Ryan Day finally gets that vindication. But it was a weirdness about it. Notre Dame, too. Look, they beat Georgia's butt. They won the line of scrimmage. They deserve to be there. But they lose to NIU. It's like you've devalued the regular season, I guess, is the point I'm making.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me to figure out. Like, I grew up around that game, and with the or else and the all or nothing stakes to it, to say out loud that Ohio State won a national championship and lost the Michigan game, it's weird. And just like it's weird that weird when Alabama did it in Auburn, then when they lost to Auburn and then beat Georgia for the national championship. But like Nick Saban said, you're not going to remember that part. I still think we're going to remember the Michigan part because launched – the way they lost. And then it launched this playoff run where they went on a rampage, guys. It was four games. Unbelievable. And I think they played amazing football, and it was cool to see. And you know, for Ryan Day, it was the ultimate redemption. He had the right to kind of fire away at his critics. I thought he handled it with a ton of class on Monday evening.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look ahead, because Mike and I were talking about this, Bill. It's Bill Bender, guys, Sporting News senior writer, talking some college football. you know, I think Georgia's going to be very good next year. And we've been saying, is this reputation or are they truly going to, you know, get back into the hunt of being in the national title game next year? And I think they are, but they are going to be one of the top teams along with Texas. Where is Ohio State? Where is Notre Dame as we turn the page on this season and say, all right, what team should we truly be paying attention to as we get early into next year? I know there's still a lot to be determined. We, you know, portal and some other things, but what are you thinking there?
Well, I think Georgia's going to be very good. We got our way too early up like everybody else. I was impressed with Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
A couple good ads. Nate Frazier could emerge next year. I always use that Empire Strikes Back analogy, but they're going to be right back in the mix. And the schedule isn't quite as difficult as it was. Although, sort out SEC teams for next year, and I'm guilty of this, it was really difficult, is I mean, after Georgia and Texas, what's the difference between an LSU, a Florida, a Tennessee, an Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss, all the way down to, like, Missouri? They're tough to sort out because I think LSU is going to be high on those lists because of Garrett Nussmeier. I think Florida created a lot of momentum when we thought Billy Napier was going to be fired, and now they got a decent setup with Billy Napier. And when I have some time and I need to do this, you really got to break down those schedules. And you know, when you have a team that's got a lot of really good teams against them, it's going to be a little bit tougher. And I think that happened this year. You know, Florida weathered that strong schedule. Oklahoma, not so much. But then again, the Sooners ended up picking up Alabama and keeping them out of the playoff. There's a lot of teams in the SEC that got to go through a gauntlet. Every one of them has a tough schedule.
Hey, Bill, what about Oregon? You know, they win. They are the Big Ten conference champions for 2024, and Ohio State went through and, like, pooped through a duck, I've been saying. But, I mean, can Dan Lanning, you know, get them back where they're supposed to? I mean, we thought they were going to make a run, and all the teams that had the bye, like Georgia, just seemed to really fizzle.
Well, that's why I said home game. You know, Georgia winning 31 straight home games. Dan Lanning and Oregon, they've lost one home game in the last 3 years. So probably would have helped the play. Not only, I think the break is something we've got to address too. Could you imagine if the Chiefs had to wait another week to play? When you have to wait from December 7th, I think it was, till January 1st or January 2nd, in the Bulldogs case, to play your next football game. That's a long layoff. And I know they've dealt with that in the past with the other format, and a lot of it's the rest versus rust argument, but it was very clear that Oregon was rusty. And I thought it was pretty clear that Georgia was a little bit rusty with a backup quarterback. I'm not making excuses because you got to go out and play the game. I understand all that. But I would do it that way. Let's start this playoff sooner so these guys don't have that huge break. Maybe you got to get through the final. That's, I guess, the other difference with school calendars. You got to do finals and those things. But I don't know, man. We can figure out a way to do that.
We should figure out a way. Bill, appreciate you stopping by, man. There's a lot going on. Do you suspect any big changes? I know you're following all these different stories as to how business is done moving forward with college football and NIL, because we keep waiting on more guardrails. Do you think this is just going to be another year where, hey, do whatever the hell you want, spend as much as you want?
Well, I mean, yeah, until we get those, yes. And, you know, the playoff will make some changes in the coming years, but – it worked for Ohio State. I don't begrudge them. You know, they spent a lot of money and they got a nice return. They got a national title. They spent money on the right guys like Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard and Caleb Downs. It wasn't like 30 players they brought in. They just brought in a couple real good ones like any good baseball team would do. So, hey, we'll see. You know, we'll fix. I still think that, I don't know about you guys, I've been thinking about it a little more each day. The sport's fine. The sport's fine, and we'll fix some of these things, but can't tell me you didn't enjoy it. I am a little concerned about those TV ratings, but
right.
We'll see. You know, some of that was we had two teams from the same part of the country.
Right, right. I agree. Bill, thanks so much, man. We got to run. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, Mike, do you think – because, again, this is – I know we're biased in the South, but if you had an SEC team versus a Big Ten team, I think the ratings would have been better.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like outside of Ohio State, Notre Dame fans, nobody likes them. and I think that's, I speak for Michigan people. I speak for folks on the West Coast. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. But again, we talk about SEC, you know, the vibe against it. And I don't know. I agree with, I think with Bill, it got lost. There was just so much stuff going on, and they've got to tighten this thing up and start it sooner.
All right, guys, coming up, Daily Downloads on the way as we'll get you caught up on the latest news around not only the NFL, but also what else is going on. And we got to revisit this Chipper comment because I think he's right. We'll tell you more about it coming up.